888-403-4438.
Well, Dr. Stan, here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming at you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay on a beautiful afternoon here. The sky's blue, a little breeze rustling through the trees under any circumstances. Why? Our guest this afternoon, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And so, Joel, why don't you bring us up to date on the really important issues facing America today that we're not going to learn about through the regular media?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Joel, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Joel Skousen is supposedly our guest this afternoon. Joel?
I am here, Dr. Stan. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I certainly can. Go right ahead.
Okay. My first major story for tomorrow's World Affairs Brief is on the latest maneuvers on health care reform. The huge public outcry against health care reform has the Democratic left running scared. What began as a populist movement promising everyone cheaper universal access to health care has now begun to engender legitimate fears in the public about excess control, loss of privacy, rationing, and even bureaucratic determinations about who deserves to live and who deserves to die. You know, even the notorious leftist ARRP or AARP organization has stirred up a hornet's nest of angry members who finally realized the extreme partisan nature of this huge and well-funded lobby for retirees. There was a YouTube video that came out a couple of weeks ago showing AARP staffers pushing Obamacare at a member meeting and meeting a wall of opposition. The video went viral precisely because it showed staffers telling the audience in the beginning that they were there to, quote, listen to members' concerns. And then they abruptly shut down the meeting, insulting the audience, and walk out when the discussion didn't go their way.
Well, because I've known the AARP has always been a socialist organization. You've got to have somebody lead the good people. They've got their agents in the American Medical Association. Well, that's why the AMA certainly backed the Obama health care plan. And lots of state medical societies want to pull away from the AMA. Of course, they should have done it long ago. But the reason people go into, you know, medicine and medical politics is so they can betray the doctors, tragically. Many of the people who are in key positions were there so they could destroy medicine and bring in socialism. I fought that for 10 years when I was a part of the House of Delegates of the CMA, and it's still going on today. But I think a lot of people are beginning to wake up that maybe the people who lead their organizations really, of course, don't have their best interests at heart.
So the CMA is what, the California Medical Association?
The California Medical Association, right. The AMA, of course, is the American Medical Association. Each state has representatives there.
And so it's probably California CMA is probably a very big organization.
It really is, sure.
Yes. Well, you know, the Democrats are now scrambling to create all kinds of legislative ploys to make it appear as if the bad parts of Obama's health reform package are being taken out, but still allowing sufficient remnants of the regulation to keep their foot in the door. Some Democrats are talking about splitting the bill into two parts, separating out the regulation of private insurers from the public insurance option. But they can get to total government control over health care just through the regulatory option, even if they appear to abandon the public option temporarily, which I don't think they intend to do. Even Nat Hinhoff, who used to write for The Nation, the leftist journalist, he typifies the growing dissatisfaction and concern, even among hardcore liberals, about the direction Obama's taking. He says, "I was not intimidated during J. Edgar Hoover's FBI hunt for reporters like me on the left who criticized him. I railed against Bush-Cheney war on the Bill of Rights without blinking, but now I'm really scared of this White House." You know, that's really something for Nat Hinhoff to say.
Well, you know, there are a lot of good liberals out there, a lot of good leftists, you know, who are really concerned about freedom, but they've always thought you could trust government. And anybody with an ounce of sense has to realize that this health care bill, I like to call it the Kevorkian health care bill, and I think we should refer to it as that, because obviously obviously down the line they're going to ration access to care for the elderly. That's why, of course, they want to have these special committees that will determine sort of treatments. What's got to be cost efficient? We've got to have end-of-life care, end-of-life counseling. And what are they talking about? They're talking about withholding water and food. And I, as a physician, will tell you that is exactly what they're doing in some of our hospices today. They're actually killing the patients there.
Well, that's specifically what he addresses. He says President Obama's desired health care reform intends that a federal board, similar to the British model, as in the Center for Health Outcomes Research and Evaluation, that's the name of this euphemistic thing, Center for Health Outcomes Research and Evaluation, decides whether your quality of life, regardless of your political party, merits government-controlled funds to keep you alive. He says, watch for that life decider in the final bill. It's already in the stimulus bill signed into law. And I think you pointed out in another interview that the members of the ultimate federal board will themselves not have examined or seen the patient in question. For another example of the growing tumultuous resistance to Dr. Obama, particularly among seniors, there's a July 29th Washington Times editorial citing a line from a report written, of course, by key advisor to Obama on cost of, quote, cost-efficient health care. Preeminent bioethicist, and that's a non-sequitur if I ever heard one, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, the brother of the White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel. I mean, these people are on the dark side if there ever was any. But Emanuel writes that rationing health care for older Americans is the allocation of medical care by age that is not discrimination, he says. He calls for rationing, which will certainly be necessary when you promise everyone free health care, or nearly free. He says, you see, 65 or older, you had more life years than a 25-year-old. As such, the 25-year-olds deserve more cost-efficient health care than older folks. Well, that's another name for Kevorkian health care, as you say. And in any case, this Hinhoff finishes by saying, no matter what Congress does when it returns from its recess, rationing is a basic part of Obama's eventual master health care plan. Here is what Obama said in April 28, New York Times, in which he describes a government end-of-life services guide for the citizenry. As we get to a certain age or in a certain grave condition, our government will undertake, he says, a very difficult but democratic conversation, you know, democratic conversation over your life, about how the chronically ill and those toward the end of their lives are accounting for potentially 80% of the total health care costs. Well, this end-of-life consultation has been stripped from the Senate Finance Committee bill because of Democracy in Action town hall outcries, but it does remain in the three House versions of the bill. This presents the Democrats another strategy, gutting the Senate version and setting up a conflict between the House and Senate versions so that it has to be resolved by a conference committee.
But I think what we have to understand is that that's what they really want. They can take it out of the bill, but that's what they're really talking about. They just don't want the American people, and especially older people like me, to know that they really want to get rid of the elderly people because it's costing too much to take care of them. And Medicare, which we were promised would always pay regular and customary fees and there'd be no problem financing it, Medicare is costing more every month today than they're taking in. And they're lying to the public. They're concealing that public. The whole thing is on the edge of collapse. And so they've got to cut expenditures for the elderly. And they really want to cut back end-of-life care. And how do they know when the end-of-life comes? You take away food and water, and that's the end of life. And you're always correct when you give end-of-life care.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It sure
well,
is.
My point was, is by only removing it from the Senate version, they set up this automatic conflict with the House version. That's resolved by a conference committee. Those are chosen congressmen and senators meant to manipulate the final compromise. And I'll guarantee you, the bad stuff will still stay in the bill, even though they've told the public it's been removed.
Sure.
And then Obama will sign it. So it's another strategy for tricking the people into thinking, hey, I thought that stuff was out of the bill, and all of a sudden it shows up in what he signed.
The fact it is there at all means that they really want to kill the elderly, just like they did in Hitler's Germany. Well, we're going to have to take a break here when we get back. Why? We'll perhaps talk a little bit more about the Kevorkian health care bill. And ladies and gentlemen out there in the audience, when you refer to this, start referring to it as the Kevorkian health care bill. They can't stand that. I mean, if you want to see a liberal turn purple, just refer to the Kevorkian health bill. We'll be right back with Joel.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927? That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. How much are you willing to lose? Take action now. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. I believe that we are facing a financial catastrophe of biblical proportion. Over recent decades, numerous economic systems have failed. Current Federal Reserve policy and uncontrolled government spending have set the stage for the United States to be the next target. Secure your assets today by calling 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. Do this while paper can still buy gold. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Aging doesn't only show in your face, but it can be felt in your body. You feel tired, your joints and muscles ache, and your mind seems clouded and forgetful. It's time to stop the aging clock with a proven system brought to you by NutraMedical.com. Anti-Age Max uses a revolutionary formula to turn back the hands of time on the inside and out. Combine Anti-Age Max with Nutritrala to protect against cellular damage, and Collagen Max to regenerate healthy bones, ligaments, joints, and improve the collagen and elastin to your skin's appearance. It is possible to look and feel youthful again when you give your body what it needs. Anti-Age Max. Dr. Bill's Anti-Age Max is available now by calling 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871. Or order online at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com, your source for the most powerful nutraceuticals and wellness protocols from a doctor you can trust.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here. Our guest this afternoon, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, Obama's spamming the public now, which is illegal. White House Press Secretary Gibbs was dancing like a puppet trying to evade the accusation of an MSNBC reporter who kept pressing the spokesman with evidence that the White House was sending out unsolicited emails pushing health care reform to the public. And people were complaining that they had never had any contact with the White House and was wondering how they got their email address. These emails were unsolicited and spamming, you know, is illegal, let alone for private individuals, even for the government. Well, Gibbs clearly didn't have a good answer then. Now the White House has come out about 3 or 4 days later admitting the spam, but casting blame on, quote, outside groups feeding names to the White House. We can imagine who those were. Groups like Acorn and other left liberal groups. The White House is blaming unnamed political groups for the unsolicited emails that it wrongly insisted no one was receiving from its online operations. Well, this is another example of the Obama administration bending the rules, doing everything they possibly can do to pass this huge socialist health care program. And one thing I want to emphasize is that Massachusetts, which is the only state of the union that has that have paved the way for this kind of a health care reform with a force everyone into the system, private health insurance regulated system, is not an appropriate model for the nation. Peter Robinson says it's no wonder that Romney, Mitt Romney, who was governor of Massachusetts, and this is very interesting, he was pushing this thing, he was saying, bragging about his role in being the first state, to push through a universal health care plan for a state. But it's a disaster, a fiscal disaster. You know, at first, he says, Romney boasted about the program, signing the legislation in 2006. He claimed he'd been able to steal the health care issue from the Democrats. Well, that's easy to do, Stan. When the Republicans pass what the Democrats couldn't do alone, it's just like saying, gee, we took away the communist ability to legislate because we gave the people everything the communists wanted to do.
Well, that's just what George Bush did with the No Child Left Behind, which was Ted Kennedy's program with the Medicare drug bill. Ted Kennedy's program, wonderful. Actually, George Bush outdid Ted Kennedy in those liberal things, and the average Republican went right along with it because, after all, George Bush was a Christian, and he looks at things just like we do, and boy, he sure sold out the Republicans and the Christians and betrayed his oath of office.
Yes, and Romney's program appears, of course, to have done very little about the central problem, actually the only real problem with health care, the spiraling costs. In seven of the last eight years, per capita spending on health care in Massachusetts has increased faster than the nation as a whole, and the health care insurance costs in the Bay State now run about one-third higher than the national average. So what's the point of a complicated health care program of subsidies and government controls if it fails to rein in expenses? And this is exactly where we're headed as a nation with the Kevorkian health care program.
Well, I understand that it's hard to get a general practitioner. A lot of doctors are leaving Massachusetts, and they're having increasing difficulty getting good health care there. And I think it's only going to get worse.
And the program has weighed down the state budget. In the last 2 years alone, spending on free and subsidized insurance plans for low-income citizens in Massachusetts has doubled from the projected $630 million in 2007 to an estimated $1.3 billion this year. I mean, it's just doubled, and it's going to triple and quadruple. In tough times, the state treasurer, Timothy Cahill, recently said, the program just doesn't seem doable, but we're still waiting for the savings. Well, they're not going to get any better.
Are those the same savings that Obama has promised us, how he's going to increase coverage and reduce costs and give quality care?
To more people, a third more people into the system.
Right.
It just, it's a pipe dream. As for the tax threats to force people to buy insurance, Dr. David Himmelstein of Harvard explained, threaten people with tax penalties. Yes, you can force most of them into insurance plans. But if they still can't afford the care, what good does it do? Because lots of people are already figuring out how to game the system. Consider one example. The community health plan Harvard Pilgrim, which has experienced a surge in short-term customers. These new customers purchase coverage for several months, run up big medical bills, then drop their insurance policies once the treatment is ended. you can denounce these customers as bad actors unfairly taking advantage of the system. What you cannot do is call them irrational. When they face high medical bills, they buy the insurance. When they don't, they pay the tax penalty of about $900 instead. And you can't blame them for playing whichever one suits their, the best deal. Because, frankly, a $900 a year tax penalty is cheap, considered, you know, a $300 a month medical insurance premium.
Well,
so looking very bad, but I can tell you, Dr. Stan, the Democrats are worried that there's a huge public outroar against this, and they are trying their best to slow down this bill now and figure out a way to keep from getting crucified election-wise if they pass this thing against overwhelming public denunciation.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, and I hope the American people, of course, will, first of all, vote the scoundrels out, and secondly, go down to their to the election office and make sure they don't rig the elections with their phony electronic voting machines. That's the only thing that's going to get a lot of the Democrats reelected, I think, next year.
Yeah. Well, you know, bogus rumors of a bank holiday persist. I've covered this before, but it keeps coming. Chris Laird of the Prudent Squirrel says this. He says, yet more rumors circulating of some kind of bank event in late August. He says, first, the stories seem to combine a bank holiday with a complete collapse of the U.S. dollar. He says, U.S. dollar is not showing signs of a pending devaluation. In fact, the U.S. dollar has been rising lately against the euro. And treasuries are even okay, and the U.S. dollar is doing quite well, rallying and with market selling. He says, too, if there really were a bank holiday, it's hard to determine, its full effect. But one thing it would sure do is that it would flush out more cash from the system, just like in Argentina when the banks were shut in 2001 and people were denied all access to the money. An unexpected consequence, it flushed out billions of dollars in cash, dollar cash, that the public was hoarding, and the central bank suddenly had huge increases in foreign exchange. They were flooded with dollars because of people spending, getting the dollars out of their mattresses and spending it on the economy. They had no other choice because the banks, were shut. And that, you talk about one way to cause people to hate the government. That's what happened to Argentina, and they threw the government out. I don't think this government wants to risk that. So I don't believe these rumors about people in FEMA jackets telling county officials to prepare for a bank holiday in August. I mean, how big of a secret would that be, and how long would that last, every county employee running out and telling their family to get their money out of the bank? Well, even though I do not see this bank holiday coming, of course, it does mean that, there still are plenty of crises that can come. There's a huge debt pyramid still hanging over the country. Huge speculator markets and derivative markets. But that will only give them an excuse to print more money, not close the bank.
All right. You hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skelton from World of Bears Brief right here at Radio Liberty.
Hello. This is Tom with HempUSA.org. Most of you have been hearing my ads for the past few months, and it's no secret that the economy is failing and prices are rising in all sectors. If you've been thinking of a nutrient-dense daily food source and a storable food for yourself and family, the time to act is now. At HempUSA.org, we still believe that food will be your greatest asset in these trying times ahead. Please call 1-908-691-2608 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Beware, be smart, and be ready. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org. Families need this high-quality natural food source for its low price and long storage shelf life. This incredible food source should be a staple part of your diet every day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Hello, this is Alex Jones with some important questions. If you're going into a battle and they give you a rifle and a sidearm, how much ammunition do you want? My answer would be all I can get. In the battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your only ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it? Now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Can you buy it without proper identification? Will there be any food? Will it make your children sick? If there's a quarantine and you can't feed yourself, will you go to the gathering center and be immunized? You wipe out all these problems if you have a good food supply. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. I'm Alex Jones. I want all of you good guys to live to fight another day. Call 1-800-409-5633 or check it out on the web at efoodsdirect.com. Again, that number, 1-800-409-5633. Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit ecoloblue.com. Ecoloblue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a 5-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing 5-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Ecola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Ecola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue at ecoloblue.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Joel Skousen. And Joel, before we go on, why don't you tell our listeners how they could subscribe to the World Affairs Brief?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. There's a synopsis of the current brief front and center on the page with the subscribe button underneath, which is the way to subscribe. There's a modest fee. I think it's only $20 for the rest of the year for the World Affairs Brief. It comes out every Friday. It's my unique analysis of the news where I try to add back in the things the mainstream media purposely leave out of the news, which frankly distorts people's perception about what's real in life. So I think it's a good bargain for everyone. I encourage everyone to go to World Affairs Brief, and they could even get a free sample copy by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com.
And I certainly recommend it to our listeners. It's something you need to have and need to read every week to keep abreast of this, what's going on, and get the story behind the story, the news behind the news. Go right ahead.
Well, the next story is about Hal Turner. You know, the mainstream media was ecstatic that another right-wing radical radio host has been taken down recently. He was arrested by the FBI, and he was regularly known, of course, for his incendiary views. He was arrested Wednesday in New Jersey after federal officials charged him with angry postings about a gun case in Chicago that amounted to death threats against three judges. In the case that, of course, tests the limits of free speech against hate speech, once again, the Justice Department charged that the radio host, Harold Turner, had crossed the line. Of course, he is was listed by the notoriously inflammatory Southern Poverty Law Conference as a white supremacist, an anti-Semite, and a maestro of radio hate speech. And, in fact, I've always been an opponent of Hal Turner myself. I've covered his inflammatory rhetoric on my briefs a couple of times. He was always claiming to have too good to be true insider information, promoting bogus claims about the Amero. He's the one that said that he saw, you know, piles and hundreds of thousands of these coins being minted by the government. In fact, it wasn't true. It turns out the few coins that did exist were minted by a novelty shop. And after Turner's first court filing, we finally understand why Hal Turner was the radical provocateur that he was. He admits to his attorney that he worked for the FBI since 2002 as an informer, and that he was trained by the FBI on how to provoke people in the right wing to acts that could lead to their arrest.
And I think that's so vitally important that people understand that they have agents actually planted in the liberal camps, in the conservative camps, in the Christian movement. They have their agent provocateurs, they have their informants, and so much of the anti-Semitic, you know, rantings and ravings is actually being carried out by governments trying to discredit the conservative and the Christian people. So understand, ladies and gentlemen, just like it was in Northern Ireland, where the leaders of the Irish Republican Army, the people who were torturing and killing people and setting off bombs in Great Britain, were actually working for the British government. Could that happen here? I thought that when I heard about Hal Turner, and I think that is so important. They do have their agent provocateurs. This is the technique that tyrants always use to destroy any opposition to them.
Well, prosecutors have acknowledged that Turner was an informant who spied on radical right-wing organizations, but the defense has said Turner was not working for the FBI when he allegedly made the remarks against Connecticut legislators and judges, and wrote that three federal judges in Illinois deserve to die. Well, that may be true that he wasn't working at that time, but how much better for the FBI to have imbued him with so much arrogance and confidence that he was working with the government that he could go off on his own without direction, leaving the FBI with plausible deniability. So this is a case, I mean, I have documented in the World Affairs Brief almost half a dozen cases. Almost every prosecution, for example, of a Muslim for terrorism has been through the testimony of an agent provocateur who, in fact, incited him, provided him with the inculpable material that got him arrested. I mean, these things simply wouldn't have happened. There's plenty of Muslims who are frustrated going to our universities and other ways, and all it takes is, but they would do nothing were it not that the FBI comes in with agent provocateurs and tempts them to do radical things and goads them into doing it.
And even provides the money many times to purchase the so-called weapons they're going to use against to blow up army bases or things of that sort. The government's providing the money for it.
Absolutely. Well, the next topic is today's Afghan election. I believe it's a total fraud. As Gareth Porter of IBS, a British news outlet, said, Afghanistan's presidential election has long been viewed by the U.S. officials as a key to conferring legitimacy on the Afghan government, but Afghan President Hamid Karzai and his powerful warlord allies have planned to commit large-scale election fraud. The polls suggest that Karzai might have to pad his legitimate vote total by as much as 40% to be certain to be elected with a supermajority to avoid a runoff in the first round. But Karzai has been laying the groundwork for just such a contingency of election fraud for months. He's forged political alliances with leading Afghan warlords who control informal militias and tribal networks in the provinces. And these warlords, of course, control the votes of all of the people under them. And this is a very large fraud scheme. For example, Karzai chose Muhammad Qasim Fahim, the ethnic Tajik warlord who had been vice president and defense minister in his government until the 2004 election, as his running mate this time. In return, I mean, these guys were enemies before. In return for their support, he promised Hazara warlords that new provinces would be carved out from the largely Hazara districts in Ghazni and Wardak provinces, and promised them basically that they'd have their own little fiefdom. And the socio-political structure of Afghanistan remains so hierarchical that warlords literally can deliver large blocks of vote to Karzai by telling their followers to vote for him, and in some provinces by forcing local tribal elders to cooperate in these voter fraud schemes. The system into which these warlords pressure tribal elders was illustrated by a village elder in Herat province who said to one of the local newspapers that there would be, quote, very unpleasant consequences if the residents of this village did not vote for Karzai. They use paper ballots and things, paper registration. The Fair Election Foundation of Afghanistan, which is FAFA, has been observing this process, and they note cases where 20% of the voters registered on average underage, in many cases as young as 12 years old. 17 million voter registration cards have been issued, which is approximately 3.5 million cards more than there are people to be voting. There have been complaints, of course, to the Independent Electoral Commission in Afghanistan, which handles all of these complaints, but this is not independent of the Karzai regime. Its seven members are all appointed by Karzai, and its chairman has made no secret of his support for the president in the election. So the IEC is likely to cover up complaints of major fraud, and there's not much that people can do about it.
But, of course, the thing is that Karzai is our man. I mean, he's the man that the American government wants elected. Just exactly as they sent Jimmy Carter down to the election in Venezuela, you remember when Hugo Chavez was running, and it was a totally fraudulent election, and yet Jimmy Carter, the ex-president of the United States, says, oh, this is all well and above board, and now we have to accept, you know, that we've got another communist in South America. It's amazing how the American government determines who the leaders of countries are throughout the world, as we brought Mugabe to power in Zimbabwe, or used to be Rhodesia, as we brought the ANC to power in South Africa, as we brought the communist regime to power in Southwest Africa and Angola, and the American people can't understand how we were installing tyrants throughout the entire world with American tax money. It's about time people begin taking a second look at what's going on. These are not free and open elections. They're fraudulent elections, just like what happened in Ohio back in 2004 when, there was, I think, 800 people registered in a precinct, and there were 1,100 votes for George W. Bush. That's how he won the election. We'll be right back.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
eCigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting ecigarettesnational.com. That's the letter E, cigarettesnational.com. ecigarettesnational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels, housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
If you'd like to replace the ineffective and toxic cleaning products under your sink, you need to visit BioGreenClean.com. BioGreen Clean is the first heavy-duty, all-natural, multi-purpose cleaner that outperforms every other competitive cleaning product on the market today. BioGreen Clean is tough enough to take on the kitchen, the bathroom, your outdoor grill, and virtually anything in your car, home, boat, or office, yet is safe enough for your children and pets. BioGreen Clean does not contain harmful chemical solvents, such as commonly used chemicals, butox ethanol, petroleum products, bleach, hydrogen peroxide, annoying fragrances, or perfumes. BioGreen Clean is eco-friendly, effective, and your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. So get rid of all those harmful cleaning products and get the one that actually works. Visit BioGreenClean.com. That's BioGreenClean. BioGreenClean.com. Or call 877-572-6516. That's 877-572-6516. BioGreenClean. It works hard so you don't have to. Try it today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We have Dr. Stan back here, our guest Joel Skousen. Joel, go right ahead. We've got about 6 minutes.
Well, you know, it gets worse. We're talking about the Afghanistan elections. When we observe how many millions in U.S. aid dollars are being diverted to Karzai, by Karzai with U.S. assent to buy off the opposition, just like they're doing in Iraq. Joshua Faust, writing for the World Political Review blog, has these details. He says, Pajwak, an internationally funded independent Afghan news service, has an entire news page set aside for incidents of voter intimidation. And he says, I don't mean the Taliban. It runs the gamut from the government arresting supporters of Abdullah to police killing Nuristanis for asking for enough ballot boxes to service their needs during the election. He said the government is building tribal security forces modeled on the Arbakai, a traditional tribal militia. Only this time these forces are going to be different. But they have come before. They're being given millions of dollars to form their militia's been given better weapons, and of course those weapons have to come from U.S. sources and U.S. money, and they will not be subject to disarmament and demobilization that other militias are subject to that don't pay homage to Karzai. So this is a real bribery and payoff system. There are other deals that played out just before the election registration deadline that indicate payoffs as well. Gul Agza Sherzai, the former warlord governor of Pangarhar province, who was taken to American newspapers to make his case about his impending presidency, abruptly withdrew his own nomination and supported Karzai. There were many, many rumors about him cutting a deal with Karzai. Karzai also revoked the exile of Abdul Rashid Dostum, the Uzbek warlord who faces alleged American-sponsored launched mass killings in 2001 to help deliver the Uzbek vote, which he did. And the very fact that several parties expect the Uzbeks to essentially vote as a bloc makes this author question the entire validity of the vote. This is not like a party member voting a party line. This is essentially voting for anyone the party leaders tell them what to do. And what's worse, many people have been explicit that they plan on voting for whoever their party leaders think will win. And, of course, that means Karzai. So if Karzai wins, which he's expected to today, it's the failing status quo, a powerful narrative that democracy really doesn't work in Afghanistan and probably can't work. If Abdullah somehow wins, then he'll have to deal with the powerful, entrenched warlords and interests that are now aligned with Karzai, who will have to be bought off again to support him. This would also mean a continuation of the status quo. And, of course, then there's the heroin connection in Afghanistan. Karzai's brother is one of the top heroin drug lords in Afghanistan, and of course that's a great deal of the money to do these buyoffs must be coming through his brother, because of course he has the protection of the U.S. government to keep his operations alive. You can bet that any of the drug interdiction operations that the U.S. does for show are not targeting Karzai's brothers. So,
well, it's a sad commentary, but do the American people understand that all this talk about democracy is simply a cover for the installing of authoritarian figures who are favored by the people in Washington, D.C.?
That's right. Switching to U.S. economics, there's another sweet insider deal that was revealed this week. Everyone heard about the closure of the largest bank so far by the FDIC, Colonial Bank. But the FDIC itself is bankrupt, and it's no wonder with the sweetheart deals bigger banks are getting when they take over an entity like Colonial. Federal regulators agreed to cover a huge share of potential losses to get BB&T Corporation to buy Colonial Bank. This is the North Carolina bank that the FDIC took over on Monday. State regulators seized Colonial Bank and handed over to the FDIC. BB&T said it expected, it's very interesting, you know that these buyouts, these handing it over to another bank has been prepared long in advance, because the very next day, of course, it's been announced that BB&T is buying the bank, and all those billions of dollars have to be arranged for in special deals before this happens. So this is collusion, Dr. Stan. This isn't just, normally when it used to have a bank failure, the FDIC took over, it took days and weeks for them to arrange for a buyer.
I agree with you, and obviously the FDIC is, for all intents and purposes, bankrupt. I think they offer to guarantee 80% of the $15 billion of bad assets that the BB&T had to take over. Well, the FDIC's only got $13 billion in assets, so
right.
If those start to go bad, they are, in all intents, bankrupt. And supposedly they got a $500 billion line of credit from the Treasury, but where is the Treasury going to get the $500 billion?
Well, you see, BB&T said it expects a total of $5 billion in losses, but they're getting $14.2 billion in assets that it's buying. If only $5 billion of losses, that's $9.2 billion that they're getting for nothing. The FDIC agreed to cover, as you said, 80% of the losses up to $5 billion, and 95% of the losses beyond that, so there's no risk. The FDIC will make a $3.5 billion cash prepayment to BB&T once some accounting work is done. The FDIC estimated Friday that Colonial's failure would cost $2.8 billion. BB&T paid about $500 million. Now, get this. They paid $500 million for Colonial's $20 billion in deposits, but no cash changed hands. The FDIC reduced its prepayment by that amount so the BB&T didn't have to come up with a single penny. I mean, you talk about insider dealings. This is just horrendous.
Sounds like turning Chrysler over to Fiat, a foreign motor company, with no fee at all, no charges. We just gave them Chrysler. I wonder who's going to benefit from the transfer of Colonial to BB&T.
Well, obviously, BB&T is being raised up to be one of the insider banks that is privileged. It will be too big to fail now that it has all of these assets to it. who knows what the dealings behind the scene went forward to bring it into the group of nine privileged banks that have so far been part of this big bailout scam. But, you know, there's another story here that is very, very disturbing. DNA evidence now can be proved to be fabricated. DNA evidence has become the new gold standard of criminal investigations. But scientists have the ability to manipulate DNA now to essentially create it from other genetic material. While fingerprints are almost impossible to duplicate artificially, DNA evidence can be falsified, according to a new article by Andrew Pollack of the New York Times, with relative ease, he says, if a lab has access to the kind of DNA profile the government wants to build on each person.
Well, it makes you feel all warm and fuzzy. Hey, we're out of time. I'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning. Thanks very much, Joel.
My pleasure, Dr. Stancy.
Bye-bye. And I hope our listeners enjoy our programs with Joel. I know I always do. And the fact that now they can falsify the DNA evidence, certainly, why would anybody want to do that? Why, there's lots of reasons. You've got enemies, you want to get them, why, you can send them to prison, you can get them executed. And we've got definite evidence. We've got fingerprints or which we can falsify. We've got DNA evidence, which we can falsify. And when you have people who have no belief in God, who do not fear God, why should they worry about lying? Like when our congressmen certainly swear to uphold the Constitution, when they swear that oath, and they have no intention of carrying out that oath, they want to get to be congressmen because there's a lot of money and a lot of benefits and a lot of perks and a wonderful retirement and permanent health care for the rest of your life. And believe me, none of the senators have volunteered to go into the public health care program that Obama is suggesting. They're going to be a special program for congressmen, for the elite, and then for the common people. Why, of course, they'll determine who lives and who dies. We're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen, because we've turned our back on God. There is a conspiracy against God. There was a conspiracy to take God and prayer out of our schools. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, that's Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it to find out who took God and prayer out of our schools and why they did it and who those people worship. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And we hope that you're planning on coming to our all-day seminar on the 25th of October at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course here on the North Shore of Monterey Bay in California. Call us at 1-800-544-8927 to make your reservation. We're serving lunch. We have to know how many people are coming. And then, of course, we also hope you want to get our talk on the Forbidden Secret and on the Financial Armageddon. They both come with syllabuses. We've got a new talk by Ron Brown, who's a frequent guest on our programs, about bonds, the vigilantes of the stock market. Bonds, the vigilantes of the stock market. And then, please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm pleased to announce a completely new and exciting way to listen to your favorite GCN Live program on your telephone. Simply by calling 712-338-7200, you'll be hearing your favorite GCN Live programs in seconds. Tune into all of our channels. I have made sure that everyone who wants to hear GCN Live will have the opportunity to do so. Call to listen at 712-338-7200. That's 712-338-7200. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement,